Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, if you know he's worthy to be praised. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. It is truly my honor and privilege to be here tonight. Amen. Wow, what an awesome response. First night of camp. That's like last night of camp stuff. But just a few songs into it, you guys were already going after it. Amen. And I appreciate that so very much. Amen. Is it all right if I just get right into the word of the Lord tonight? There's such a beautiful presence of the Lord here. Amen. Thank you to everyone. I'll save some of my thank yous for later. There's just such a great presence of the Lord. In the first book of our Bibles, we find the Lord and a man by the name of Abram or Abraham having a conversation. And in this conversation, God is sharing with Abraham his desire and his plan to for him to dwell in Canaan land, which you've probably heard referred to as the Promised Land. And it's during this conversation that we read this in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, somebody say now. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. The first thing I want you to notice about this is that we see that God has a blessing for Abraham. He's got a promise for Abraham. And we see that God had something awesome that he desired to do in Abraham's life. And the verse shows us, I believe, that this thing that God desired to do, he desired to do it right then. For the scripture says, now he told Abraham, get up and get into the place of promise. I want you to do it right now. In other words, God was saying, Abraham, I want to bless you, and I want to bless you right now. Abraham, I've got something for you, and I want to give it to you right now. I don't want you to wait for it another day. I don't want you to wait for it another week. I don't want you to wait for it another month. I want to give it to you right now. I want some young person to know that I absolutely believe that God has sent me here to tell you that he has got a purpose for your life. He has got a plan for your life. But here's what I've come to say. I've come to declare that he desires to accomplish that purpose and that plan right now. Somebody shout right now. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is God's will to call some young people into ministry over the course of the next few services. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is God's will to call some youth groups into a level of apostolic ministry like you've never dwelt in before. I believe it's God's will to empower some young people in this room with apostolic authority. And you're going to go home and you're going to turn your world upside down for the cause of Christ. If you believe that, shout yes. But here's what I need you to understand. I need for you to understand that this calling that is going to go forth over this room and in this room for the next few days is not something that's going to be post-dated until you get a little older. It's not going to be something that's post-dated until you get out of school or leave home or get married. But I've come to declare that what God desires to do in this place is going to begin manifesting itself even right now. You're going to feel a change before you ever leave this camp. You're going to go home and be used by God like you've never been used by God before. You're going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You're going to teach home Bible studies. You're going to win a ton of your friends to Jesus Christ. Even right now, right now, right now. Not next month, not next year, but right now. You're going to be a catalyst that sparks a revival in your city like your church has never witnessed before. If you believe that, put your hands together. Give God praise in this house. Somebody shout right now. You see, you're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of right now. And I believe God is going to release some things into your spirit over the course of the next few days that is going to alter the course of your entire life. So we see that God has spoken to Abraham, and he has given him this promise that he wanted to perform in his life. And now we read of what Abraham's response was. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 5. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had and that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. So from this verse we see that they did in fact enter into Canaan land. They did in fact enter into the place that God desired and designed for them to dwell in. But here's what I want you to see. I need your minds here this evening. It was not until 30 verses later that we read that God spoke to Abram these words, Genesis 13 and 15, 30 verses later. He speaks to him and says, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it." So we see that they were dwelling in the promised land in Genesis 12 and 5. But they did not possess that land or that promise until Genesis 13, 15. They were dwelling at the right place, but not possessing everything that God had for them to possess. You see, it's possible to find yourself dwelling in the right place. It's possible to find yourself dwelling in the house of the Lord, the place where God wants you to be, but still not be possessing all of the blessings that God has for you. How many know that it's possible to come to church and still feel like there's some stuff that's missing in your life? It's possible to pray and still feel a void in your life. Can I just make it plain tonight? It's possible to dance and shout on a Sunday and still not possess the victory that you need in a certain area of your living. It's possible to show up to Wednesday night Bible study and still battle with suicidal thoughts. It's still possible to sing, "Take Me Deeper, Lord," and clap your hands and still cut yourself when nobody else is around. It's possible to sing in the choir and still not possess complete deliverance over pornography and lust and all other type of sexual sins. It's possible to be a part of the youth group and go to youth camp, but still have that same temptation pull you down time after time after time. I feel like it's just possible that there are some young people in this room who are like the crippled man in Mark chapter 2. For in that story, we find that Jesus forgives this man of his sin first. But then after that is when this man has the faith necessary to pick up his bed and begin to walk. So we see that for a season of time, he was saved but still crippled. There are young people in this very room who are saved but crippled. Crippled by anger. Crippled by hatred. Crippled by bitterness. Crippled by jealousy. Crippled by lust. Crippled by hurt. Crippled by brokenness. Crippled by despair. Are you saved? Yes. Are you in the choir? Yes. Are you a part of the youth group? Yes. Do you know when to raise your hands? Yes. Do you know when to clap? Yes. Do you know when to say amen? Yes. You're saved, but you're still crippled. So I want to speak to that young person who would be honest enough to admit that you are dwelling in the house of the Lord, but you're not possessing everything that you know God has for you to possess. And so I believe that there must have been something that took place between Genesis 12 and 5 and Genesis 13 and 15 in order for Abraham to move beyond the realm of just being in the right position and actually moving into that realm of possessing everything that God had for him to possess. So my question tonight is this. Are there any young people in this room who want to move beyond just being a part of church? Are there any young people in this room who want to move beyond just being in the youth group and just being in the choir, and yet still getting your brains beat out by the devil every day that you live? Are there any young people in this place who are ready to move beyond just the place of promise until you're walking into a realm of anointing that God is calling you to walk in? Are there any students? Are there any young people in this room who are tired of everybody thinking you're something that you're really not, and you're ready to become everything that God desired for you to be? Is there anybody ready to move out of the place of just being in the right place to the place that God has called you to inhabit? Somebody shout amen. Amen. In order to find out what caused this to happen, we must first look at our text. For it says this in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, so that you may go into a land, a promise that I show you. So we see that Abraham is ordered from the very beginning that if he is going to be able to possess the blessing and possess the promise that God has for him, it is going to be necessary that he leaves some things behind. His country, his kindred, his father's house. I'm not going to deal tonight with his country or his father's house, but I would like to talk about this commandment from God for Abraham to leave behind his kindred. For this word kindred, this word denotes those connected to you through blood relationships. Not necessarily relationships brought about by marriage, but rather a kindred individual means a person that is related to you by blood. And God tells Abraham to leave his kindred, his blood relationships behind, and go into the land that he has promised. But notice what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4. This is immediately after this promise is given to Abraham. If you'll leave this behind, that you can go into this place of promise. Genesis 12 and 4. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. Lot was his nephew. Lot was his own flesh and blood. Lot was related to him through the family bloodline, and yet Abraham still took him with him. In the very beginning, we see that God had ordered Abraham not to bring Lot. Don't bring your kindred, but for whatever reason, he brought him anyway. And I believe that in order to understand the fallacy of this union between Abraham and Lot, you must first understand the type of person that I believe that Lot was. The Bible says a little later in the chapter that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And what we know about Sodom is that it is a type of the world. And so by pitching his dwelling place towards Sodom, we see that Lot was directing himself and positioning himself towards a worldly environment and a worldly influence. The next time you read about Lot after that, you'll find that he was then living in Sodom. Not just positioning himself looking towards it, but now, how many know that what you look towards is probably what you will eventually dwell in? So the next time we read about Lot, he is dwelling in Sodom. The time after that we read about him, the Bible says that he is in the gates of Sodom, which is where the rulers and the powerful people of the city could be found, at the gates. So we see that first Lot was just looking at the world, then he was dwelling in the world, and then he was a ruler or an important figure in the world's economy. So I think it is safe to say today that Lot could be classified as a type of the world, of that which is worldly. He could be typified as that which is carnal and ungodly and unrighteous. So here we have Abraham, who is spiritual. He feared the Lord. He was a covenant maker with God. But now he has joined himself with something that is worldly. It's getting quiet. Here was a spiritual person who has now joined himself with that which is unrighteous. Young person, can I tell you today, you'll never be able to possess the fullness of God's promises for your life as long as you are joining yourself with the things that are of this world. Abraham, God has already told you not to bring Lot. You're not gaining anything by having him around. And yet you are missing out on everything that God has for you, because as a spiritual individual, you are connecting yourself with that which is ungodly, Lot. But Abraham must have thought, it's no big deal. I know what God said. I know God said I shouldn't take my kindred, but come on, Lot, it's no big deal. He wasn't talking about that. I can get away with this. I can go against what God wants me to do here, and everything will be all right. I'll still be able to feel God's presence. I'll still be able to sing in the choir. I'll still be able to be on the quiz team. I'll still be able to go to youth camp. I'll still be able to feel the presence of God. When in reality, the thing that he was holding on to was keeping him from the fullness of what God wanted to give him. And so halfway through my message, I come to my title. For I feel to ask every person in this room, every young person in this room, this question: what is your lot in life? What is that bit of worldliness that you still find yourself attached to? What is that thing that this world has to offer that you still find yourself going back to time and time and time again? I see you singing tonight, and that's great, and you guys were going after it, and that's wonderful. I see you clapping this evening, and I thank God for some young people that know how to worship, but what is that worldly attachment that you're still hanging on to that nobody else knows about? I see you in church, and I'm not saying you weren't being sincere. I'm not saying that at all, but I see how you're acting now. But what is that thing that God has told you to give up, or your pastor has told you to give up, and yet you're still hanging around with it? I know you've been baptized in Jesus' name. I know you've been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, but are you still messing around with some things that you know you shouldn't be messing around with? You need to get honest with yourself tonight, and you need to get honest with God tonight, because whatever it is keeping you from receiving the fullness of all that God has for you to have. You might be in the right place. You might be in the house of God. You might be looking the part. You might be acting the part. But like Abraham, as long as you're content to be in close relationship with that which is ungodly and that which is worldly, then God can never bring you to the place that He desires for you to dwell. I want to show you something. I'm hurrying. But the name Lot means a veil. That's what the name Lot means. And what we know about the veil in the Old Testament was that it was the very thing that separated the people from God. Everything we hold on to that's worldly is separating us from the fullness of God. Everything that we do only when no one else is watching, or only when there's no other apostolics around. That thing is separating us. Every sin we make excuses for. Everything we have attached ourselves to that we know the Word of God doesn't approve of, or our pastor doesn't approve of, is separating us from the greater things of God. I don't know about anybody else in this room, but I don't want there to be anything that separates me from the blessings and the promise of God. I've come to tell some young person in this place that the blessings of God that He has in store for you are way too awesome for you to forfeit them for something that is meaningless, for something that is pointless. Your ministry is way too precious. Your anointing is way too powerful. Your testimony is way too great. And your calling is way too wonderful to jeopardize it by holding on to something that you should be letting go of. I just feel to talk to somebody in this place right now. You're holding on to something, and it is separating you from some things that are so beautiful and some things that are so wonderful. And what you have compared to what you're missing, pastor says, I don't want you dating that boy. He's not in church. Doesn't have the Holy Ghost. I don't want you dating that girl. She doesn't love God. She doesn't want anything to do with God. And yet you say, I know better. And so I'm going to hold on to this. Something that is meaningless and without purpose. And I am going to exempt myself from all of this. What is your lot in life? So we know Abraham had joined himself with something that God told him not to. But we also know in Genesis 13, 15 that eventually he did possess the promises of God. He did walk in the land that God had promised him. So what took place in order for that to happen. Genesis 13 and 14, right here. And the Lord said unto Abram, watch, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where you are now to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. For all the land that you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Notice, the very moment that Abraham separated himself from Lot, not an hour later, not a day later, not a week later, the very moment that he separated himself from Lot, the very moment he separated himself from that which is worldly, God begins to speak to him and says, now I can give you blessing. Now I can give you promise. Now I can usher you in to the promise that I had for you since the day you were born. I can do that now. I couldn't do it before. Because you were hanging on to some things you shouldn't have been hanging on with. I couldn't do it. I couldn't speak into your life. Oh, how much God longs to speak into some young people's lives tonight and say, here it is. Here it is. Here's your calling. Here's your anointing. Here's your blessing. Here's your ministry. Here's what I've called you to. Here's your purpose. But he said, I can't do it because you're holding on to some things. But the very moment you separate yourself, God can begin to speak. When the separation comes, the blessing comes. When the separation comes, the promises come. When the separation comes, your true calling will come. When separation happens, greater anointing happens as well. When separation comes, God's purpose and God's plan and God's will for your life will be fulfilled. But first, you've got to separate yourself from whatever it is you're hanging on to. I'm almost done. I want you to look at the conversation that Abraham had with Lot when he decided to separate himself from Lot. Almost done. Genesis 13, 19. Abraham, Lot having a conversation. And Abraham speaks to Lot and he said, is not the whole land before you? Separate thyself, I pray, from me. If you'll take the left, he speaks to Lot and said, if you take the left, I'll go to the right. Or if you depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. Notice, you got to get this. Abraham was not saying that he would just separate himself a little bit from Lot. But rather he said, if you go to the right, I'm going to the left. And if you go to the left, I'm going to the right. In other words, I am going to go in the total opposite direction than the way you're going. I'm going to get myself as far away from you as quickly as I possibly can. I'm not going to separate myself from you but still touch base with you on Facebook. I'm not going to call you from the campground and say it's over and then text you a couple days later. If you go to the left, I go to the right. That needs to be some young person's attitude in this place. For there needs to be somebody who says, I'm not just going to repent of some things here at camp, knowing full well that I'm going to dabble with them again when I get back home. I'm not just going to do the little camp repentance thing, knowing full well I'm going to pick it up when I get back home. But there's going to be some things that I'm going to separate myself from in this altar tonight. And I'm not going to look back. And I'm not going to reconnect. And I'm not going to keep looking over the fence. And I'm not going to always wonder where my old party buddies are. I'm not going to keep putting myself in the same environment where I always kept giving in to that temptation. If it goes to the left, I'm going to go to the right. I'm going to get as far away as I possibly can. Come on. You know exactly what it is. Your pastor might not know. Your mama might not know. Your youth pastor might not know. Your best friend might not know. But you know exactly what it is. You know what your lot in life is. You know what that thing is that you're holding on to. You know what that thing is that you just refuse to let go of. And God sent me here tonight to let you know He's got purpose. He's got plans. He's got anointing. He's got beautiful things He desires to give you, but you've got to be willing to separate yourself. This altar's open. Everything else for this week stems from right here. The voice of God that's going to come from Brother Lopez, the voice of God that's going to come from your youth president and youth secretary and other speakers this week. The voice of God is going to speak into your life in a powerful way. But He's waiting for somebody to say, I repent. I repent. I repent. Come on, this altar's open. This altar's open. Come on, this altar's open. Come on, young ladies. Come on, young men. God, I'm sorry. God, I let go. I'm letting go. I'm letting go. I'm separating myself once and for all. Once and for all, God. I'm not picking that thing back up. I'm not going back to that. I refuse to go back to that. It stops right here. It ends right here. Tonight it ends. Tonight it ends. It's over. Come on. Come on, young people. You gotta let it go. Let it go. Let it go. God's got so much better things for you. He's got better things for you. Let it go. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.